If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Hi, everybody. I'm Fred Ramsey, the host. In the studio with me, the greatest fisherman, my co-host Mark Tobin is here. He's just got a glow about him. I don't know what it is. He must have gone fishing.
I did go fishing.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can't hear
you. You can't hear you? Nobody wants to hear you.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Well, all right. You did go fishing?
I can tell. I took a day off.
Yep. Thank goodness.
Yeah, it was much needed. Yeah. And, you know, this is really a fun time of year for me. I love it when they're running water out of Truman and through Lake of the Ozarks, because it puts those fish in pretty predictable areas. And they're one of my favorite things to do is find current breaks out on the main lake. And, you know, the bait fish get in there because they're not strong swimmers, and the game fish follow. And so that's what I concentrated on. I didn't have a long time to fish. I'm telling you what, it was hot.
Oh,
my gosh.
You're tough.
It was miserable. No wind and upper 90s. But so went out on the bluff and the current breaks and pitching a spoon. I was just trying to catch some white bass and hybrids. And, just as I had hoped, found a couple of pockets of them, a lot of them. We'd sit in one spot and catch 20 or 30 white bass just every time you cast over there, just as fast as you get that spoon in the water.
Wow.
And after they got educated, moved down the bluff a little ways, and there was an area that had a bunch of trees hanging over the water, and the limbs were touching into the water. It was only about 8 feet deep, but again, it was a little bit of a current break, and I was flipping that spoon in there just to see if there was white bass, and I kept getting hit, but I couldn't catch a fish. So I thought, well, that's got to be bluegill or crappie or something. So I put a crappie jig on and flipped down there, 14-inch crappie.
Bang. Whoa, bang.
And it was on. I mean, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen the live scope, you know, the Garmin live scope that we've talked about, and see what was actually down there. But my trolling motor, I guess my batteries must be bad, because my trolling motor only lasted for about 2.5 hours. And then I started tying up to tree limbs. Anything I could do to just stay, you know, close to these spots.
Sure.
It was just incredible how many fish were around there, and didn't use minnows, no nothing, just a jig and 6 to 8 feet deep in that little current break. And we could have duplicated that in a lot of spots, but without a trolling motor and that kind of current, it was tough. But yes, it did my soul good.
Get away for a while, huh?
Yeah, right.
Nothing. You've been working too many hours. I'm worried about you.
Yeah, it's been old. Hard to find any help. Yeah. But I was talking to Chap Martin, our guide buddy over on the Kansas side. He had, in his opinion, the most frustrating day of fishing that he's ever had this past week. And
if a spaceship ever comes back and lands, it'll land on Chap Martin.
He is a strange individual.
Oh, yeah.
But he went fishing with a guy that had a live scope. And we've been talking, for people that don't know what the Garmin live scope is, it's kind of like live video. You can see the fish actually swimming. You can see your lure in relation to where the fish is. It's just incredible technology, and it's changing the way we fish. And so he hadn't fished with one before. And this was, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. And we had rain wherever he was. And Monday was not a good day to fish. And it was the first day of the high pressure bluebird sky. And they were finding lots of fish, and they were double rigging minnows, just using straight minnows, no jig, no nothing. And they would graph brush piles, and he said it was just incredible. I mean, just tons. You'd see the fish and swimming around. They'd drop the lure down to them, and they would rush up to it, and they'd look at it, and they would stop, and they wouldn't hit. They caught 5 fish all day. And he said it just messed with his confidence. You know, you're going to have days when you get out on the water, and you're not going to catch fish.
Yes.
And this made it more frustrating, because you see that the fish were actually there, and they're coming up and looking at your presentation, and then they go away. So he tried every lure, every color, in frustration, trying to get him to bite. In reality, there wasn't anything he could have done. But he, I think he would have been better off not knowing what was down there.
Yeah.
And because he just, he was about ready to throw that thing in the lake. He just was, lost his confidence. He was mad. The next day they went out, didn't turn it on. They caught over 100 fish.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, that's 2 or 3 days after the front. So, you know, it's time for him to start biting again. And,
yeah,
and maybe if they'd have the live scope on. That's not why they didn't bite the day before, was because they were using the live scope. But, you know, I'm talking to a lot of people that having some frustrating experiences with it. Just because you have it and you see the fish down there doesn't mean you're going to catch them.
Yeah, it messes with your confidence.
When they don't bite, yeah, right.
Exactly. We talked about it briefly, and I had a guy I ran into at the bait shop up there the other day, and he said that you're talking about $2,000 to $3,000 for the thing. And I said, yeah, it might be a little strong, but yeah.
$1,500 for the locator. Well, it's a box. It's a transducer, and it's $1,500. That goes into a locator. It has to be a Garmin locator, but there's several different models that is compatible with. So, and those range in price from a few hundred dollars up to a couple thousand. So it just depends on how much you want to spend on the locator. But the Live Scope transducer is $1,500.
Wow.
That's a lot of minnows.
That's a lot of minnows, isn't it? You know, I guess if I was fishing a tournament, you know, I would think it'd be if I'm fishing for real money, I guess I should say.
You have to have one.
About have to
but
have
But there
one.
Are some tournaments that are banning the Live Scope.
Oh, already? Uh-huh. Huh? I figured that might come.
There was a 24-year-old kid that was fishing a couple of tournaments, and he came in and beat the old, you know, the veterans. And that's what he was doing. He was live scoping and picking out big fish and concentrating on trying to catch the big fish.
Yeah.
And he was very successful at doing that. And so there are some tournaments that are banning it. And I can kind of understand that. But,
yeah.
I mean, it they either ban it or everybody has one.
You know, until you see this thing, I mean, the first time I saw it, and I just, you know, I saw it on the computer like everybody else, and I just sat there with my mouth open. I thought, what in the world are they going to come up with next?
Have you seen the video? There's a lot of videos on YouTube, but this, have you seen the one where they show a cast net, a shad net being thrown? It is just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. You see the net hit the water and it sinks, and you can see the net, and you see the shad going up into it. It's just amazingly detailed.
Yeah. And you know what? They'll even improve on this.
Oh, I know it. Yeah, right.
I don't know what the next step is other than, you know, the big screen TV on your boat.
Well, what I've heard the next step is it's going to identify the species of fish.
Yeah, I'm from Missouri.
But you can pretty much almost do that now.
You can do that now.
It doesn't automatically tell you that, but you can pretty much tell what you're looking at.
Yeah, I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. And, I don't know. I don't know if that's fair. You know, I don't know. You know, whatever. You know, if, you know, people get too serious about this sometimes. And you've been around them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just
lighten up
a little bit. You're supposed to be out there to go fishing, you know, and giggle and laugh and things
relax.
Like that.
And that's not relaxing. If you have an experience like that where you see the fish coming up and not biting your lure, that could get a little frustrating.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one thing not to catch fish, but if, you know, like they say, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, really. A lot to that. You know, if I'd have been chatting, he's 10 times the fisherman I ever thought about being. 100 times better, but I would have gone down to 2-pound test or 4-pound test and just see what would have happened on the reaction to that. I think it'd been a good test mode to do.
Right. Well, and he said he did change lines.
Did he?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now I don't know what pound test he went down to, but he said he tried everything that he could think of.
Huh.
And it's just one of those days where they're not going to bite. But unfortunately, you're seeing them not biting.
Well, you know, they want to bite.
They got to eat.
They've charged the minnow. You know, they turned around and here they come.
Yeah, right.
And then
so
they
why
get
they
within
finish?
A foot of it and they go, ah, wait a minute.
Yeah, it would mess with you.
Oh, boy. You know, the other thing, this thing has got a lot of merit for the walleye tournaments.
Right.
You know, where does it stop? They tell me you can run the Missouri River and see the blue cat on the bottom. I've not seen that yet.
Well, and then you can target that fish.
You can target that fish. You could go by that rock pile, and if there's no fish there, you don't stop there.
That there's a catfish tournament. When is that? Is that a couple of weeks from now? Because I'll guarantee you there's going to be some people out fishing this tournament because there's too much money involved.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be interested to see what's going to happen.
It's going to be real serious. It's that Reed Chevrolet Championship. First place is $15,000 guaranteed. And they're going to have people in here from Mississippi and Alabama and Minnesota and everywhere. And also, if you have a five-fish limit of weighing over 225 pounds and you pass polygraph, you drive home with a brand-new Silverado, not just a Silverado, a loaded-up Silverado.
Sweet.
And it's just, that thing is, last year was just huge, and I think, but what rumors I'm hearing, I think it's going to be about a 30% more increase in it. And it couldn't hardly handle it last year. You know, the guys did a wonderful job doing it. But, man, I'll tell you what, that's the biggest tournament. There's people all in New York, people have called. And I mean, wow. But, you know, that Missouri River. And some of these guys, some of the best fishermen I know, and they come up at that Missouri River, that's a whole different game.
Boy, yeah, it is.
And if you don't know and you don't understand, now I'll start getting calls. Probably real quick now. Last year, I'd already got three or four calls, and where are they at? Type thing. Like I should know, you know. And you go, come on, people. You know, you got to go out there and fish this thing. I had guys that were what I'd call really, really good cat fishermen. After the tournament was over, as the weigh-in, they came in a bust.
Wow.
And then there was people in there weighing in 100 pounds and 60 pounders and 40 pounders and all this stuff, and it whipped them. Mentally, you know, well, we don't fish nothing like this. We can't, you know, a lot of them guys came off the Mississippi River. They couldn't handle it. They just couldn't handle it. And their ego entered the river before they did, you know. And I understand that. You know, you got a lot of money in a boat. Some of these boats, Mark, especially that Sea Arc line, my goodness, it's got, you know, those great big aerators, and you got to keep that fish alive.
Oh, yeah, right.
And my goodness, and the rigs and the depth finders and the anchors things that they've got. And, you know, next thing I figured they'll have a cannon on the front of it, shoot the anchor up on the bank, you know. These people got $50,000, $70,000 in these boats.
In a catfish boat.
And they come all the way from Mississippi. They're staying in a motel room. The gas.
Spending some money.
You know, there's been a serious deal here. But this is serious money.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it'll be interesting. I, you know, I've looked at this up and down and sideways. I'd love to fish it, but I'm not in their league. I can catch a few fish out of the river, but I'm not in their league. These guys are serious, serious people. And it's just amazing.
When is the tournament? And the weigh-in's open to the public, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The official meeting that you got to attend on this thing is August the 9th up there at the hotel. And it's right by the casino. And I'm trying to pull it up on this website, but it doesn't seem like it's working real well this morning, but some of it is. But it's the 9th, and I think you go out like 4 o'clock on the 10th in the afternoon or something like that. I got to get all the official stuff on it. And then weigh-in is Sunday morning. So it's unbelievable.
So it's 2 weeks from this Friday.
Yeah, it's not too far away on the deal, so what the hey. And speaking of 2 weeks from this Friday, which is not too far away, our inaugural banquet, which is a big deal for Delta Waterfowl, the Knights of Columbus up in St. Joseph, Missouri, August the 17th. The door opens at 5 p.m. Dinner is at 7 p.m. We have the happy hour. You get real, real happy. Get steady, as I call it. You drink and get steady. But, boy, we have really got some incredible stuff. The people from HSM yesterday, I received a case of ammunition 6.5
nice.
Creedmoor.
Awesome.
And I thought, you know, I wonder if they'd miss a box out of that. But I didn't open it. I'd love to. But though I don't know how we're going to do those. I imagine we'll end up silent auction a lot of the boxes or the whole case, or maybe we ought to give some away. I don't know what's going to happen. But seeing how this is the inaugural one, we got weird stuff, and it's primarily hunting gear. And, you know, if you guys are a duckaholic like me, you need to attend this thing. There's only a limited amount of tables around, and they're already going like hotcakes. So I kind of look to us to have between 300 people at this thing. I think there's already, we confirmed about 250 some. So if you guys are wanting a table, go to the Squaw Creek Chapter Delta Waterfowl. You better log in. Had a guy call me tonight wondering how to get on this thing. So get involved with this. This is going to be cool. We'd like to have some volunteers too. If anybody out there could help us, you know, come that afternoon, set up tables and merchandise and things like that. We'll feed you, water you, whatever it takes to make you happy. But go to the Delta Waterfowl Squaw Creek Chapter and take a look at that. Hey, we are brought to you by Reed Chevrolet up in St. Joseph, Missouri. One of my favorite people, one of my greatest sponsors, one of my bestest friends is Trevin Reed. Trevin's getting ready to go away on a sheep hunt here pretty darn quick. But they've already got in a brand new Silverado 2020, which would really look good in your driveway, Mark. It really a mm-hmm. cool look. This 2020, orgasmic. I thought the 19s were good looking. The 2020 is But here's the deal. In August, they start hitting a lot. So if you want the proverbial brother-in-law deal on a 19, this is the time. I think the rebates are like $14,500 off of rebates right now. So there's nobody kinder. There's nobody better. Why do you think people come from Lincoln, Nebraska, Des Moines, Iowa, Butler, Missouri, Springfield, Wichita to Reed Chevrolet to buy a truck? One is, yeah, there's nice guys, non-commissioned salespeople. But the other thing is the price. And you never, ever, and they got a huge inventory, great inventory. And a brand new is still hitting the ground up there, and the 20s are showing up, and it's something to see. And they're just good, good people.
And what a great time to go up there and buy a truck. Go up today and watch the Chiefs practice.
And stop by and buy a truck. You can do it done in an hour.
Yeah.
You can do it in an hour.
As long as you don't talk to Dwayne and start talking about fishing.
Yeah, talk fishing with the guys hunting. Yeah. But just walk in the door, I want that truck. What's your best price? And that's what, there's no, they don't care. You know, they ain't going to power slam you. They don't talk down to you, you know. I just can't say enough good things about Reed Chevrolet. And I know some other things that he has done for that community up there and people that were down and out that I can't mention here on the air. But he's the kind of person you'd like to meet in your life. If nothing else, you need to meet Trevin Reed.
You got that right.
You know, Purple Heart, Marine, two tours in Afghanistan, our kind of people.
You got it.
Yeah, just a wonderful, wonderful. We went talking guns with him. Guy knows more about guns and loads and sectional densities and velocities than anybody I ever talked to.
Sexual densities?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Do you know anything about sexual density?
I know. I know I'm dense sometimes, but I don't know about that.
Go by and see him, Reed Chevrolet. I take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Who we got lined up for a guest?
Clint Hale. He is the hatchery manager down at Shepherd of the Hills Fish Hatchery down by Taneycomo.
Well, I don't know. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he really is. And he knows his stuff.
Yeah. Big tournament out of Ashton, Kansas. Now, I just got text on that. Don't know any more about that. I suppose go to somewhere and search on the web about that. I saw a couple that had a Jackson kayak. I've been looking for them. They're not hard. There's a lot of them out here.
God, it's just unreal.
And I can tell Jackson by the fin on the back of them. Now I've learned and educated myself. But they were going Belcher Branch. That's where they were going. And they were going to go take that kayak back in the Thule's.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing about those kayaks. You can get them in places you can't get a regular boat. And it just opens up a whole new world of possibilities as far as fishing goes. Especially there's
that's
a lot of
these.
That's
what she told me.
Is that right?
Yeah. She said opened up a place we never fished for.
Well, and you get away from the crowd. Yep. Nothing wrong with that. But a lot of these city and county lakes, you can't get in on them. Or you just fish them from the bank. And this is just a great way. And the Jackson kayaks, if you got to go fishing, if you want a fishing kayak, you see them at Walmart. You see them everywhere now.
Yeah.
But the Jackson kayaks, if you're a fisherman, that's the one you want.
Yes.
That is the most stable in the industry. And that's what you want is a stable kayak if you're going to be fishing. They've also got kayaks that you can pedal, and they actually have a trolling motor that you can fit in some of these. So, I mean, you talk about that's the way to do it, hands-free fishing.
Yeah.
But Sportsman's Outfitting Marine out in Belton, that's the place that you can get these Jackson kayaks. But go check them out.
They bought a couple dozen minnows. They were just giddy, getting ready to go, and they had Jackson on top of the truck, you know. And, you know, Belcher Branch, you know where that's at?
No.
You know where Fawcett, Missouri is?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Anyway, it's just east of there.
Oh, okay.
That's where they caught that crappie out of there. I forgot. But they caught a lot of two-pound crappie out of there.
What, had over a four-pound crappie?
Yeah, it was something. Yeah, you just go, wow, I don't remember. Gray matter's not lining up. I'm too old. But, boy.
Well, a lot of these places got those big bluegill and hybrid bluegill in them. And give me those.
Yeah.
I'd just as soon eat those as any fish.
You know, I recommend Guy Park, right north of Platte City, Belcher Branch, which nobody knows anything about. If you're a bass fisherman, Nottoway County Lake, not right by Mazingo.
Oh, yeah.
Where you turn to go to beautiful Hopkins off 71 Highway, up over the hill there. There's three sneaky little places around that you can go catch quality fish, and there's not going to be a lot of people there.
Take a bucket of crickets or some worms.
Sure.
Hammer those bluegill.
Take the kids and go fishing. You're not getting any younger. Some of the best experiences I ever had, you know, is when I used to crappie fish with my dad, and you did too.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you just don't forget things like
Well,
that.
And for me, it was going up to Cameron, Missouri, fishing some ponds up there.
Yeah.
And we caught those great big, huge bluegill. We fill up a cooler full of them.
Yeah.
And just, I'm telling you, we just had an absolute time of our life. We'd run out of crickets, and my brother and I, we'd go searching through the weeds for little grasshoppers or any kind of insect. And that was as much fun as the fishing was. But I got to take my boat over to Sportsman's today.
Yeah.
I hadn't used it in a
while.
That's where
I was talking about the Jackson Kayak. There's only one dealer to buy them from. That's it.
That's Sportsman's.
Yeah.
You know. But my boat on full throttle would started missing. And no siren came on, no warning bell or anything. So I'm thinking might have a water problem or some kind of a deal.
Who knows? It hasn't been fished enough, I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's right.
Now. It probably could be some moisture in it.
Yeah, I'm thinking it probably is.
But I don't know.
But Dave Hemme, he's the head mechanic over there.
He's
there's
a good
just,
guy.
Yeah, there's just nothing he can't figure out.
Listen to my boat and fix it basically in the parking lot.
Yeah, and you'd had it to a couple other places.
I had two other dealers, and he said, oh, it's your thermostat. I didn't even know they had a thermostat in one. Did you?
No, heck no.
I didn't know. I didn't have no idea about that. But anyway,
I know where the gas goes, and that's about my extent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If it doesn't work, I'm shot out of the water.
Well, I tell you, they are complicated looking things. You take the hood off of them, you take a step backwards, you go, oh.
But they're not that big. But boy, I tell you, the price on some of these motors is just outrageous.
Oh.
And boats.
And boats. Well, that's the thing about Jackson Kayak. You know, you don't have to go get a bank loan, basically, you know.
Right.
I think, $1,000 maybe, you know.
Yeah, and there's some models if you get a bunch of, you know, get the trolling motor and that kind of stuff. You can get up there more expensive, but, yeah, you can get into them for, you know, just a few $100s.
Yeah, you know, I mean, unbelievable.
Water levels are beginning to improve.
Oh, they? I was going to ask you about that.
Still a lot of water, but they are making some headway. But, you know, we're going in next week is going to be the beginning of August, and we're still having these high water issues. Milford Lake is still 19 feet high, but that's down. It was 24 foot high last week. Tuttle Creek was 49 feet high last week. It's down to 42 foot high, but still 42 foot high.
Jeez.
And talking about Milford, before I get to the rest of these lake levels, I was talking to Vic Ertley yesterday, and it's hard to find a place to put in, but others are seeing not just acres, but miles of white bass and hybrid surfacing out on the lake.
Best kept lake in America, best kept secret.
Well, I'm telling you, this is good news. The white bass fishing had been kind of tough for a few years, but the population has bounded back. And I'm telling you, you're staying on the bank and you're seeing white bass. If I'm seeing acres and acres of white bass surfacing, I am going to find a way to get my boat in the water.
Yeah, you have to carry it over your head.
I don't care what it takes.
Yeah, you have to carry it over your head. You'll get it down there, you know.
Lots and lots of white bass and lots of hybrids, 5 to 6 pound range hybrids, good size hybrids. Every now and then a bigger one, but it's just spectacular right now. And there's more people out than you think, but still a lot less pressure this year than on normal years. So the fishing should just be.
Milford at one time was one of those secrets too of the quality of walleye.
Absolutely.
Now it kind of got bruised, I thought.
Yeah, one of the first big national tournaments it seemed like that took a toll on them.
Yeah, and I'll bet you, I don't know this, I'm just speculating, but I assume that they're back.
It sounds like, well, in this year with a lot less pressure, it's going to benefit all species of fish. But I'm just really happy to hear that the white bass will come back, because that's one of the fun things going out there. There's a lot of them, and they're not hard to catch.
Can you get in a Thunderbird?
No. None of the ramps were open, according to Vic yesterday. But there are places that you can find to get into the water. Now, I don't know where
you'd
they
have to
are.
Be a local, know where that road ends there and go back down there and the thing.
But it's 19 feet high, so hopefully in the next week or two, some of those ramps are going to open
back
up.
On our Facebook, did you see the guys unloading the canoe out of the back of the pickup truck? They slam on the brakes and
it goes flying out the back. Yeah. Okay, Perry Lake was 24 foot high. It's 20 foot high still. Clinton Lake was 20 feet high. It's 19 feet high. Pomona was 16 feet high last week. It's 12 foot high this week. Hillsdale was 9 feet high. It's 7 feet high. Stockton is making some progress. It was 14 feet high. Now it's 11 feet high. Pomme de Terre was 18 feet high. It's down to 15 feet high. And Truman was 23 feet high last week. It's 20 feet high this week. So there's still a lot of water out there, and there's going to be a lot of water being released. Mm-hmm. So that just bodes well for anything downstream. I don't care what lake it is, fish down below the dams.
It should get good.
It's good, and it's going to stay good for a while.
It should get good. It is good.
Right.
Yeah. Shane Bush is going to be our guest.
Clint Hale.
Oh, Clint Hale.
They're good buddies.
They're good buddies. That's why I got that crossed over, wasn't it?
Shane is the biologist.
I'm old and wore out, but that's okay. I don't think he'd be mine to be called Shane Bush anyway.
No.
We're going to have him on here in just a second. We are brought to you by King City Lumber Company. These are good humans, Mark. I'd like for you to meet these guys.
Yeah, I need to get up
Marty
there.
Marty and Monty Tunks, they are the nicest humans, that whole family up there. If you're going to build an outbuilding, go to their website, kingcitylumber.com, and peruse around there. Like the first time I went on, I had a little bit of time. I ended up spending like 30 minutes, and next time 30 minutes. I have these dream factors of buildings I'd like to own and build. But with the flood taking away an awful lot of them and a lot of damage around, this is the guys you want to do business with. They first-rate carpenters, first-rate lumber. I was in some of their buildings that are 20 years old, and you can't tell that they weren't built a year or two ago. That's how good it is. And their old adage is that if it's not right, we'll make it right, 110%. The master craftsman, first-rate lumber. I can just say it all again and again and again. But KingCityLumber.com. Please go to the website. Talk to them, and they'll do everything they can to put you in the right building for the right price. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Gonna take a little break. We'll be right back with you. I like the music band. I like their own show. Maybe we ought to just turn it over and just have nothing but music. You think that would work?
No.
No.
No, I'd enjoy it. That's Chris Bolig running the show for us. We appreciate your music interludes, Chris. You did
Chris
a good job.
A good man, isn't
he? Yeah, he is.
Yeah, well.
Appreciate it, boys.
We are brought to you by Highway Trailer Sales. Speaking of good men, Terry Lee, the El Presidente. What a great guy. I can't say enough. I met him. It's been a long time now. And, excuse me, felt like I'd known him for 20 years. I didn't hit the cough button. all my life I haven't hit the cough button. But Highway Trailer Sales, you know, a lot of guys are hauling wheat, a lot of guys getting ready. Someday it's not too far down the road, they'll be cutting some soybeans or some corn. A few guys hauling a lot of rock up in Atchison, Holt County, and your truck is broke, your leaf springs break down, hauling that stuff, that's very hard on your trucks and your trailers. So you guys with those 18-wheelers, there's only one person you want working on it, and that's Highway Trailer Sales. They are located at 1850 Southern Road in Kansas City, Missouri, right across from Worlds of Fun on 435. There's no finer people. 10 bays, they'll get you going. They do it professionally. They know time is money. Whatever it takes to make you happy, they will do it. If you've got a complaint, you go straight to Terry Lee, and he'll say, no, wait a minute, let's just straighten this up, and let's do this, that, and the other. He's that kind of guy. Did this contract on a handshake. We've never had a signed contract because I just believe in him 110%. He's my kind of people. Highway Trailer Sales, again, they're located at 1850 Southern Road here in Kansas City, Missouri. Do we have Clint Hale instead of Shane Bush?
Yes, we do. He's really one of my favorite peoples in the world.
What's wrong with Shane Bush?
Nothing. Shane's
you don't
a good
like
guy
Shane?
Too. No, I love Shane too. He's a great guy.
What's the difference between Clint and Shane?
Well, they're kind of interchangeable. If you look at them, there's not a whole lot of difference.
Oh, they look like brothers?
They could be brothers. Well, at least brothers from different mothers.
Do they have gill plates?
I'm not sure. I haven't. There was something starting to form on Clint's neck.
Oh, really?
That looks suspicious to me. Yeah. Huh. So I'm not sure. But he is the number one hatchery manager down at Shepherd of the Hills Fish Hatchery in Branson, Missouri. My good buddy, Clint Hale. How you doing, Clint?
Pretty good, bud. How are you guys?
Well, so is the are the gills forming?
I don't think so. Hey, comparing me to Shane Bush, I don't know. I thought you liked him.
Like both of you, yeah, absolutely. Good guys. So you're raising baby trouts down there. Take our listeners through how the process of raising a trout.
Oh, my gosh. It's a big process.
Right. It's very involved.
A lot of people think we just feed the fish and throw them in the lake. Pretty simple.
That's a little bit more to it, isn't there?
A little bit more to it. We raise our fish from egg, so that means we have to carry broodstock. Broodstock are fish that are carrying eggs. And so we start with the spawning process. The trout will not spawn themselves. They're not in a natural environment, so we have to spawn them. And so anyway, without going into great detail, we get the eggs, fertilize the eggs. We put them in upwelling jars, incubate them for about, depending on water temperature, for about 25 to 30 days. They hatch. They become sac fry. And in about 15 days, that yolk will be their food source. And then after they absorb their yolk sac, they'll swim up, and they're called swim-ups. And then when they get about 3 inches, they're called fingerlings. These are all real technical hatchery terms. The fingerlings are just because they're the size of your finger. And then once they're ready to go outside about 3.5 inches, we vaccinate them for disease. And they'll go to some intermediate raceways that are about 50 foot long. And then once they get to about 6 inches, they go to 100 foot raceways. And we're splitting and moving and counting the whole time. Every month we do weight samples, kind of get an idea of what our size of our fish are and our population is in each pool. But along the way, there's so many things that go on with fish production. Here at Table Rock Lake, you know, our water source comes from the bottom and 140 foot down, and that carries a lot of parasitic organisms. There's disease. So we're constantly looking at the fish, seeing if there's issues. Usually our issues come in the fall when our water's the warmest and the oxygen's the lowest. Poor water quality. Water quality is the key to any good fish, you know, good fish production at any facility. So it's a long process. It takes about 18 months to raise a stockable fish.
Wow.
For Kane and Como. And then, you know, we service all 4 trout parks and raise all brown trout in Missouri.
So 18.
That's about it in a nutshell in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
How big, you say 18 months from hatching in the yolk sac, and you said they absorb the yolk sac, but are you yolking?
Oh, my God.
Too early.
Early for those guys.
Yeah, don't pay no attention to him. He'll go away in the next half hour. You know.
But well, after 18 months, how big are those fish that you're stocking?
Yolking.
They're around 11 inches.
Oh, wow.
Here at this facility, our water is around the mid-40s for temperature. So our growth rate is only about a half inch a month, which, that's, you know, that's pretty good. But say, for instance, in a trout park, they're 57 degrees pretty much year-round. Their growth rate is accelerated with that warmer temperature, and they get about an inch a month.
Really? That much? Wow, that's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yep. When they're little in a trout park, they can get up to an inch and a quarter, sometimes an inch and a half, but that's about the max. But that's really, really efficient. They're really efficient animals. It takes about a pound of food to raise a pound of fish. So in that fish's lifetime, they'll only eat around a pound of fish food. So about a 1-to-1 conversion, which is extremely efficient.
Interesting.
It is very interesting, isn't it?
Now, what is the warmest water temperature that a trout can survive in?
You know, they rule of thumb is up to 70 degrees. You know, when we had the flood of 08, we got up to 66 at this facility, which is extremely warm for a trout. I think the highest water temperature I've seen them survive in is around 68, but that's extremely stressful to the fish.
I'll bet.
But you get over 70, especially, you know, an increased temperature in a short period of time is going to be detrimental to your trout. You have a 10 degree temperature swing within a few minutes, you're probably going to lose some fish.
Well, these are concrete raceways that the fish are raised in, correct?
That's correct.
And let me encourage anybody that hadn't been down to Shepherd of the Hills Fish Hatchery, you need to go down there and take a tour. It is just fascinating, and it's great to see all these thousands upon thousands of fish. But, okay, this is a concrete raceway. How do you keep that water cool enough for those fish not to stress?
We have flow-through systems, whereas we don't recirculate all our water. We do some, but you're getting fresh water coming into that pool all the time. That's why our pools don't freeze. They don't warm up. They don't have time because there's new water coming in all the time. Hmm. A single exchange in one of those raceways, I think, is around 30, 40 minutes.
Hmm.
Wow. So they really don't increase, decrease in temperature at all.
Hmm. Well, where's that water coming from?
The bottom of Table Rock Lake.
So is this just a gravity system, or does it rely on pumps?
Gravity.
Well, that's good.
That's good.
We have 140 foot of head pressure, so, we have, the intake has in the past during floods, catfish have journeyed down to our intake and clogged up our screen. So there is the potential of that becoming completely clogged. We've hired divers in the past to go down there and clean off the carcasses. Now we have the ability, we do have an intake that's 30 foot down at the auxiliary spillway, that we can bypass our main intake and use the auxiliary intake, but that's only certain times of year because 30 foot down, water temperatures aren't conducive for trout production, you know, in the summer months when it's 70, 80 degrees, 30 foot down, so...
Hey, Clint, I'm still having a hard time with this yolk joke. Do you think maybe it was improper potty training when he was a baby or what? You know, I mean, there's got to be some reasoning behind these.
I quit trying to figure it out.
Well, that reminded me of, you know what a dog's favorite breakfast food is,
here
Clint?
Here we go.
A dog's favorite what?
Breakfast food.
Uh-uh.
Poached eggs.
Poached eggs.
I'm sorry.
I have put up this every Saturday. You know, I mean, my goodness, the poor guy.
I feel sorry for you.
Well, it is. It's such a challenge, you know, on the deal. If he wasn't such a nice guy and a great chef, I wouldn't even hang out with him. He's embarrassing. Oh, well.
You know, in the past, I've come and talked about, you know, we had the potential for a new visitor center.
Oh, yeah, right. What's going on with that?
You know, that didn't pan out the first time. It came in way over budget. So we had to regroup, redesign, and we're doing a lot of stuff in-house now on design. And I just had a meeting this past week on the next version, it's going to be the final version, hopefully. And, you know, we're going to meet now. Consistently, and hopefully we can get something on the ground in the next year or so.
Well, that's great. Well, keep me updated on that.
Where's that going to be built?
It's going to be built in the same, it's going to basically expand the existing visitor center where it's at right now.
Okay.
And that's right in the middle of this facility.
Hmm. When is the hatchery? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just wondered when the hatchery is open for tours now.
Oh, yes, it is. It opens at 9 and closes at 5, 7 days a week. They usually do tours. I think they start at 11 and end at 3, something like that. So we're getting anywhere on the weekend, 2,000 to 3,000 visitors a day.
What? And, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good tourist season. You know, we receive over 300,000 visitors per year. So
crazy.
It's quite a bit when you're working, you know, you're in a working facility, a lot of big trucks, trying to work with the fish, and you have hundreds of people out there with you at all times.
Yeah,
curious.
Yeah, right.
Asking questions. You know, and their safety is our concern.
Sure.
As well. So we got to be mindful of that. So it can be a challenge working around that many people.
Poached eggs.
I'm
working on that one too. I mean, every Saturday, I ought to have a medal and a parade down Metcalf Avenue here. You know, so, unbelievable. Oh well, I just don't pay much attention to him, Clint. It'll be okay. Here's what I want to know: there's a point where these brood stalkers have got to go away. I would assume their lifespan is so long. I want to know when you're putting them in the water. I want to catch one of them rascals.
And where?
And where? Do you cycle them through?
Yes, we sure do. That's an excellent question. Every trout park in this facility, when the brood stock gets so big that they're hard to handle, we will, quote-unquote, cull these fish.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that's just not using them anymore, and we stock those fish in the Lake Tanipelmo and the parks for special events. Lunkers is anything usually designated over 3 pounds, but some of these fish are 8 or 10 pounds.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
Putting in the lake, so we have a spreadsheet that we put all our cull brood stock in that every facility has for the year, and it has formulas in it. Based on habitat and how big or long the stream is, and then it tells us how many we stock in there per year. In Tanikoma, we usually stock around, it just depends. We usually stock around 500 of those lunkers per year.
Wow.
In the Tanikoma. So it's, usually the fish.
Another dumb question, Clint. There was a Mark. You can refresh my memory. There was some guy caught something that was so huge down there that
the brown trout.
Yeah, brown. What was it? It was some ungodly weight.
How big was that, Clint?
Do you know?
It was a state record. Yeah. Brown trout. I remember right. You know, I wasn't here. One of the only records I wasn't here for.
Is that the one that was over by Lily's?
Yeah.
Is
33 pounds sound right, or am I hallucinating?
I think it was 32 pounds, so many ounces, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
We weigh a lot of state records down here because we have one of the only certified scales in the area. So we weighed the state record striper, you can almost name state record drum, brown trout. We haven't weighed a state record rainbow trout, which would be nice.
Yeah, it really would.
That's at Roaring River.
Is that right?
Roaring River has that record. Yep.
Wow. Didn't know that either.
But brood stock that you use, is there a certain amount of years that you will keep it before you release it? Is there anything set in stone as far as how long you'll use a fish for spawning?
Nothing set in stone. Sometimes we'll have females that their eggs they'll have two different size ovaries, so they'll have big and little eggs. Well, we don't want that. We want more uniform eggs, so we'll call that fish.
Hmm.
Or, like I said, when they're over a certain poundage, not necessarily years, but if they get too big to handle, we'll call them. So there's various reasons that we'll call a brood stock, and then when every couple years we get replacements to replace those fish. So we've got a keep track of how many we're culling, so we know how many we're going to need to replace. Hmm.
That voice you're listening to is Clint Hale. He is the fishery manager down at the Shepherd of the Hills Fish Hatchery in Branson, Missouri. And again, let me encourage people to go down and visit him, visit the hatchery. It's just an amazing thing. Clint, what is probably the biggest challenge that you face trying to raise these trout?
Biggest challenge? You know, I would say it's just certain times of year, the water quality. Mm. The water quality we're getting from Table Rock Lake prior to lake turnover, you know, our oxygen is zero coming into our facility. The water is warm, so there's more parasites. They have an increased life cycle, so there's more of them. So the fall of the year, every single year, is a challenge. So
not the summer. Summer is not as much. It's the fall.
It's the fall. It's the fall prior to the lake turning over. Usually it's around. Usually it's around September, October, November is my three most challenging months every year. You can almost bank on it.
Oh my gosh!
Now I got to go. I got to go, Clint. But I'm hung up here. This 33-pound fish that was caught down by Lily's Landing, wasn't it?
Was this
was like a stalker that had been in there for years and just grew and grew and grew? I mean, was it one that you guys put out there at 30 pounds or something?
Well, with the broodstock brown trout, we'll spawn them. You know, they come up our fish ladder. We'll spawn those fish and then put them back in the lake. So we do not keep any of those on hand, so we do not cull any brown trout.
Really?
So this is one that was stocked at around 10, 11 inches. Years ago.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. That's impressive.
What's amazing about that fish, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but more than likely, we did not get a DNA sample from that fish, but more than likely, that was a triploid brown trout. We stocked those for about 4 years in Taneycomo. Basically, they're sterile fish. They don't spend any energy spawning, so they spend all their time eating and growing, and they have an accelerated growth rate. And
a neuter,
I remember, but that 30-some pound fish, it was growing. Oh my gosh! Offhand, it was something like 3 pounds a year.
Oh my goodness! Wow!
Isn't that? I mean, that is amazing. I wonder what I suppose they're eating bluegill. Crawdads at that
other,
big.
They other get trout.
Alpo, whatever.
Yeah. they're eating other rainbow trout. Now, this fish was living under Lily's dock, so he was eating a lot of trout carcasses that were thrown in the lake from fish cleaning. So he had a real high-protein diet. Brown trout, when they get larger, they become a pretty big apex predator.
Clint, this is a neutered trout is basically what you're talking about?
That's what a triploid is?
Is that what that is?
Right. So they're sterile. They you know, the males will still produce sperm, but the females won't produce eggs. They won't produce sperm. They'll produce milt, which contains sperm, but they won't be fertile. So, yeah, they're sterile, so we don't want any of those that come up our ladder. We don't want to spawn sterile trout. We don't want to spawn a male triploid into our eggs. So these fish were all marked. Their adipose was clipped, and the adipose is the fin right by the end of the tail on top. And it doesn't grow back. So this fish looked like it had a clipped adipose. So next time we get a big fish like this, we're going to take a blood sample and check and see if it is triploidy for 100% certainty.
Cool.
Hey, we're out of time.
Dang it. It goes too quick.
I just love this guest.
Clint is the best.
Is he better than Shane Bush?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he is?
Far.
Yeah, there's,
oh,
just,
yeah?
There's
no
comparison.
No.
Well, if Shane was here, could he defend himself?
Unlikely.
He'd just go agree
with
just, it?
He's just a biologist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about Corey Mason? Are you better than Corey?
I don't think so. Oh, yeah, Clint is.
Clint is?
Yeah. Clint, you are the bomb.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks for getting up early on Saturday and being with us. You're the best.
Yeah, poached eggs. Don't forget that today.
Yes, okay. Really. No yolking.
Nope. Too early.
Give your lovely wife a hug for me.
I sure will, buddy.
All right. Take care, Clint.
Well, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. What a great guest.
Go down there and see that hatchery. It's really something. We did a television show down there one time, and I got to spawn the fish myself. It was great. It was very interesting, but it's very involved.
What are you, kind of kinky or what?
Very
expensive.
You spawned
the fish yourself.
I did, yeah.
Ooh,
that was interesting.
That implies an awful lot. I'll tell you what, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this Saturday. Next time we see ya, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week.